In college, learning how race is a socially constructed concept fascinated Esquivel King. It influences the way she thinks about her own identity and our current cultural climate.
I always was wondering about race because I always knew that I had been, it was different growing up. So, like just being, having my, like, a dad that's Hispanic, but also being Jewish and being, like, biracial, it was kind of difficult. And since I was with my mom's family all the time, like, they always embraced, like, my mom always pushed to be Mexican a lot, but I also grew up with a lot of, like Jewish people, so there's a lot of that. And, like, my family's understanding, but going out of that, it was like, how do you balance both? Because I've never really been asked that. I never really thought of it as, like, balancing both. But when I got into college, people were like, how do you, that's weird, like, how does that work? But then going to school, as an undergrad, I got to kind of put a theory and understanding to what was going on. And that's what made me really excited. I was like, oh, reading about racial theory and really understanding how races build or characterized. And I can see how people ask these questions. And then I was watching a documentary about masculinity. And they were talking about masculinity and men of color and how men of color tend to put on this, like, air of toughness. It's called tough guys. Like, guys like a guys, but also guys. And it's about masculinity and why men have to be, like, tough or seen as, like, violent and all of this. And it's about culture influence us. And so when I watched that documentary, I was like, I don't know, something clicked when I finally got what was going on with my dad and why people would join gangs and why they act tougher, why it was okay, he'd rather people be scared of him. And I learned that there's a lot of respect to it. Then I became interested in the way men of color, specifically Hispanics, were depicted in the media and film. And so at the same time, I was also working on eugenics, and one of my advisors there for my undergrad thesis, I was a research assistant for him working on eugenics stuff. So I kind of put it together, like looking at racial studies and cultural studies, because in eugenics, there's a lot of cultural studies too. We're looking at school textbooks and like how kids were learning eugenics as like firsthand knowledge, just like something that should be so simple, like, oh yeah, common sense, that's what I mean. So I was looking at all of this together, and I was like, wow, this is so crazy. I would really like to look at race and eugenics. But I actually wrote my thesis on women and eugenics, women proponents of eugenics, because I found that to be really interesting. But then I was already doing film, so when I was going into my master's degree, I was like, well, I want to do film. And then I took a class in the Latin American History Department on film, Latin American film, or like, and horror film specifically. So I took that class and I was like, I love this class, this is great, I love looking at film historically. So I wrote papers in that class, and so that's what put me in the direction to do my master's thesis on Mexican horror films and socio-political context. So I talked about how masculinity is formed in three different horror films, and like I talked about how they reinforce middle class values and things like that. So I got interested in censorship, and when I finished my thesis and came here, I talked to Stephanie, and Stephanie was like, the censorship issue is so interesting. And so now that's how I pretty much have taken censorship and how it forms issues of race. And my dissertation now is looking at how Mexican censorship tried to make a better version of Mexicans, or a positive version of Mexicans in light of the U.S. stereotype. I really do like finding a lot of the little gems within the documents. That sounds really nerdy, but when they compliment my argument, and it's really interesting to see bureaucrats in Mexico talk about how denigrating they see the U.S. as being to Mexicans, and like, it's really interesting to see the language that they use that I think they're racist, but they also just say it as well. And it's kind of interesting the battles that they fought over just an image in film. Like, you think it wouldn't mean that much, but it means a lot.
Who are they denigrating? Is it the indigenous population?
It's just Mexicans in general, because the thing is they feel that the U.S. doesn't have enough cultural knowledge of Mexico or Latin America, so they all lump them together, and they're always bad guys, like in sombreros. And the Spanish is terrible, and they think they all sound kind of the same, they all dress the same, and they just think that they portray them as like poorly educated. You never see like a middle class Hispanic in these films at this time. So, and it's at the same point that Mexico is trying to rebuild itself after the revolution, so, and people have this idea that they're all, like, bandits, and they had this bloody revolution, so they're trying to really legitimize themselves and get business and become a modern country, as to speak. So it's a really interesting period where they become so nervous about these images circulating. People today still complain about the same stereotypes, but I'm connecting it to the, like, when film first began, even silent film, like, they were still doing this from the beginning, it hasn't gone away. So it's just rooted, it's so deeply historically rooted. That's what I tried to bring out in my introduction. Like, these are the roots, like, even in when film began, this was happening. And here's how, this is a story of how the Mexican government tried to fight it. With the new administration in, I think Mexico has become a lot more relevant, and the statements made about Mexicans are coming back. I mean, they were always there, but now they're, like, in everyone's face. Like, we always knew, it's underlining, like, we knew that there was tensions between Mexico and, like, immigrants and Americans who claimed that, you know, like immigrants, and now it's just up, and even the president saying, like, yep, we don't like Mexicans, and we don't want them here. This is not new with just Trump. This has been here the whole time, and these are the stereotypes they've always relied on. And so I'm trying to connect it to now that it's still here, and it still hasn't changed. The state of affairs really hasn't changed. We're not living in a post-racial society by any means.